Saturday night. That means it's time for the Don Tony Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
All right. Good evening, everybody. I better know the date today, because in about, what, 4 hours? March 26th. 2022, the Don Tony Show is back once again. I want to thank you all for joining me this evening. Crazy weekend. You know, a lot of reminiscing. I mean, for those that don't know, and look, I've always said it, I don't celebrate my birthdays all that much. You know, my family and my fiance make it more of a big deal, and all of you as well, than I do. For me, it's just another reminder that I'm getting old. But it's also the reminder that it is the 21st anniversary that WCW is gone. And of course, all things come to an end at some point. But I could tell you, being a wrestling fan since 1979, going through the Monday Night Wars, and something that is always forgotten or never brought up all that much in the same sentence as WCW going off the air, and that is the fact that my favorite promotion of all time, ECW, went off the air 2 months before. So in a matter of 60 days or so, not only did I lose the enjoyment of watching Nitro and the channel surfing and, you know, the wars going back and forth, but I also lost ECW. 2001 kind of sucked. But you know what? It kind of escalated me into becoming a viable, legitimate threat in the hotline era at that time. I know I bring it up every year, but I think I deserve it. And the cool thing about it is there's so many people that are still around, that is still alive, that will remind me and remind others every year. DT, I remember it clear as day. It was a few days before March 26, 2001, the Monday Nitro, a few days before I was a guest on a wrestling hotline, Captain Ivan. And during that report, he asked me, he goes, what do you think is going to happen on Nitro on Monday? And I said, well, I said, to be honest with you, I said, with the feud going on with Shane McMahon and Vince McMahon, and if anybody has ever heard my old reports since 2001, what I've said has never changed. It's never been tweaked. It's never been altered. When you don't lie, you know, you remember everything. See, that's the problem with people that lie, because when you lie, you got to remember those lies. And then sometimes you lie on top of lie on top of lie because it starts a chain reaction, and eventually they're revealed to be liars. But I said, you know, with the feud with Shane and Vince going on, I said it wouldn't surprise me if they do some type of simulcast and Vince McMahon will threaten to shut down WCW because of the power of Vince, and he wanted to kill everything at that time. And then Shane McMahon is revealed to be the owner of WCW. And then Shane and WCW feud with Vince and WWF. However, I will admit, I never in a million years ever thought they would have Stephanie be the owner of ECW. Did not see that coming. I still remember her with that leather beret that had ECW. Oh, God, I wanted to rip that off her head. I couldn't stand her. But when that night came, March 26, 2001, and I remember it vividly because of history, because of what happened on Captain Ivan's hotline, but I TiVo'd it. I still have my hard drive from the TiVo because eventually that hard drive failed, and I removed it from my old TiVo, and I put in a new hard drive at the time, but I never threw that hard drive away. And apparently you could send it out to get repaired. And, you know, back then, ESPN Classic was a really popular cable channel. And I recorded loads of classic wrestling from ESPN Classic This Week in Baseball. So I had tons of awesome stuff on that TiVo hard drive. But I recorded it that night, and when it went down, it was surreal. My own hotline got crazy-ass messages. You must have sold yourself to the devil. How the hell did you get that so spot on? And the rest is history. So one day I'll repair the hard drive, but it's sitting in a box. And if I remember, what was that brand of hard drive? Seagate? I think that's what it was. It was one of those old Seagate hard drives. That's what TiVos used to use. Those silver, you know, bricks, Seagate. But so, yeah, it's fond memories, but sad at the same time. So, all right. Tonight, we're going to get into, quickly, SmackDown results, Rampage results, Seth Rollins' funny tweet that leads into Monday's Raw, a little preview for Monday, couple of programming notes regarding yours truly next week, it being WrestleMania week. Obviously, we have a couple of special episodes coming up. We have the podcast Forbidden Door 2 coming up on April 7th. I will give you details on that. But obviously, we have to get into a major story. And right before we went live, I saw a really generous super chat that came in. And yes, I will be answering questions and super chats all throughout the night tonight. Of course, super chats get, you know, priority. But I saw one come in right before we went live. And it really made me think. And then something hit me that really pissed me off more than anything. You know, for those that have been living under a rock the last 24 hours or so, Triple H was a guest on the Stephen A. Smith podcast show, whatever you call it. Now, I do have some highlights from that interview. I have the audio. I had to condense it because of copyright issues, and I could not stream the video, but I do have a couple of audio segments which I will share with you in a few moments. But during that interview, Triple H announced that he is officially retired from in-ring competition. Now, I swear to God, I have no notes in front of me from his interview. And I'm going to put the picture back on the screen in a minute, but there's a reason why. The reason why I did not even have to take notes is because if anybody has been following this channel for the last 7 months, we have talked about Triple H and his cardiac event. And I repeatedly tried to instill to everyone that cardiac event is not just like, oh, your computer had a freeze or a crash or something like that. Cardiac event could be simple as an irregular heartbeat, or it could be bypass surgery, Widowmaker. Remember all those conversations that we had? And it hit home for yours truly. Because for those that might be newer to this channel or maybe need a little refresher, it was 1 year ago. It was 1 year ago. Actually, this would look better. Hold on. What the hell did I do? That doesn't work. Hold on. Let me just fix something. I you know me, I try to be sort of a perfectionist on the screen. All right, here we go. Son of a bitch. See, now I'm getting all thumbs. Okay, here's, yeah, better background. This was a tweet I posted February 4th, 2021. Now, for those in audio only, as I read this very quick tweet, because obviously tweets only go 320 characters, if you saw the Triple H interview, I want you to think about Triple H's interview with Stephen A. Smith as I'm reading this. February 4th, 2021, I posted a picture of my mom and my dad on Twitter. And I wrote, a good day just turned into a horrible one. My dad has to get emergency coronary artery bypass surgery tomorrow. He's got three blockages. One was 95%. Doctor said he was likely days away from a widowmaker heart attack. If he pulls through, hospitalization for at least a week. Say a prayer for my dad. And 258 of you were kind enough to respond for that. If I call, we'll be nice tonight. But thank you to the 258 that actually gave a shit. And you know what's ironic about that? 4 days later, I had the surprise that I was able to take my dad home from the hospital. And the same 258 of you plus one liked that one as well. I was able to take him home. And it was surreal, but it was very, very, very rough to see my dad in 4 days, 5 days, turn into a mere shell of what he was. And this is a year gone by now, and my dad is still, he's not right. Sometimes he goes to the store, and I've talked about this on the shows repeatedly. He goes to a store, he'll walk down two aisles, and he's got to sit down. He gets lightheaded, he gets dizzy. And lo and behold, Triple H had almost identical of what happened to my father. Triple H, he gets into a little more detail on the interview that he runs into in his family on his father's side. Heart problems. Me, I just went for my, what do they call that? I'm all like flustered tonight because this is emotional for my family. It's emotional for me. And I just went in December. And I had to get, you know, my arteries checked out because they found something. It runs in my family. And it runs in Triple H's family. Triple H in the interview. And I don't want to put words in his mouth. I'll let you hear it for yourself. But Triple H not feeling well, feeling tired. And next thing you know, because he had water in his lungs, water around his heart, fluid around his heart, coughing up blood, goes to the hospital. And they realize, we need to do heart surgery. And sure enough, same thing, undetected. My father is, before this, was in great health, triple degree black belt, you know, 210 pounds, you know, and out of nowhere, my father went for a stress test and he almost passed out. The next day, he's in the hospital having emergency heart surgery that saved his life. Days away from the widowmaker. And that's why for so many months I said to all of you out there, just because it's worded cardiac event, they use the term cardiac event more for all of us, for privacy, for the family. Not everybody wants specifically to know what exactly happened to them. And doctors and families use cardiac event because it's a generalistic way of saying, look, something happened with the heart. But shame on everyone out there that refused to even look, because what I saw in the last 24 hours, and you could see for yourself, the one comment I kept seeing over and over again from everyday folk was, man, I had no idea a cardiac event could be this serious. Man, I had no idea a cardiac event could be this serious. I saw podcast after podcast after podcast talking about this, and all I saw their viewers for the feedback was, man, I had no idea that a cardiac event could be this serious. Well, why weren't these podcasters trying to educate their viewers and listeners what this could be? You know why? Because for the last 7 months, they were all trying to convince everybody that WWE was taking away Triple H's power, treating him like a clown, treating him like a dunce, taking away his legacy, taking NXT away from him. Let me tell you why. I'm going to share something with you that's really going to, you know, make you think. This was Tommy's super chat a little earlier. DT, you were spot on about Triple H and your dad when he brought up the Widowmaker. I got chills. While he was battling for his life, those losers were claiming WWE removed him from power, taking away his history. You never wavered. Props. Also, how's your dad and happy birthday? Well, my dad is as good as he can be. The most important thing, he's still here. And, you know, tomorrow I'm going to see him. And every day I see him, it's extra special. It's very emotional. You know, I saw him yesterday, you know, and it's rough. It's rough. So, you know, this hits home. And it's not just me. It's a lot of you out there that have had family members go through this. Some of you out there, unfortunately, you know, it was too late for some relatives. But when I saw that come in, you know, something hit me. Something hit me. And it really annoyed me even more about this. Triple H's interview with Stephen A. Smith, and I'm going to play about 5 or 6 minutes of it in a moment. But if you saw the entire interview, Triple H started feeling this around SummerSlam. It was around SummerSlam, a little bit after SummerSlam. And as you hear him explaining it, you realize that Triple H is involved in WWE everywhere. NXT had nothing to do with SummerSlam. So you're hearing this, and you realize that from SummerSlam, you know, that's when he felt weak, tired, started coughing up blood, had pneumonia. And you don't get months of preparation. Doctor does an EMG, EKG, go to the hospital, pack a bag, go to the hospital tomorrow, go to the hospital tonight. It's exactly what happened to my dad. My dad was sitting on the floor in a doctor's office getting a stress test, and they told him, you got to go to the hospital tomorrow. Got to go to the hospital tomorrow. And when he went, we thought that he was just getting stents put in. Next thing you know, triple bypass, widowmaker. That shit is scary. But what shook me right before we went live, Keith Lee. You know why? Because if you do a Google search, and that's why I was 2 minutes late, because I was doing a Google search just to double check the time frame. It was right around SummerSlam when Keith Lee went online and revealed to the world that he had COVID, that he was so ill that it was life or death. And if you remember at that time, you had a lot of these shows claiming that Keith Lee was taking off of Elimination Chamber because Vince McMahon had nothing for Keith Lee. That Keith Lee was demoted here, taken away from here, and this, this, and that. And they're not using him, and they're treating him like a clown. And meanwhile, while they were making all those claims, Keith Lee was on his deathbed. And Mia Yim's tweet still resonates in my mind. Everyone, now since you know the truth, can you be a little bit better? Can you be a little bit better? Nobody, well, not nobody, but those people that are so popular and so big that still get all the, none of them learned. Keith Lee, oh, we got to be better 24 hours later. Just like when Hana Kimura killed herself. Oh, we got to be better online. We got to treat, at the end of the day, we're all wrestling fans and we love each other. And then 2 weeks later, a little joke, lighthearted. And then you're right back to where they were. They learned nothing from Keith Lee. While Keith Lee is on his deathbed, the same people with the agenda, and they didn't learn a damn thing. And now you're realizing that the reason why everything was taken away from Triple H the last 7 months is because the motherfucker was almost dead. The guy was almost dead. Don't believe me? I know we don't have video, but I think you'll still feel the effect of it. This is Triple H on Stephen A. Smith. The interview was about 16, 17 minutes. I condensed it to about 6.
How are you, man?
I'm doing good now. You know, it's been a incredibly tough last 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, coming out of SummerSlam, leading into that, I had been on about a 12-day road trip going East Coast, West Coast, and we had tryouts, and we had everything under the sun going on, plus SummerSlam and a pay-per-view back-to-back. And I was in Florida when I, you know, towards the end of that, I started feeling really run down. I thought I had some COVID, which... Mm. you know, I had had before. I was vaccinated twice and had had a run of COVID without symptoms, but I was beginning to think that I was having shortness of breath and, you know, everything else. I went and got tested for COVID. I didn't have it, but I had a viral pneumonia. My lungs were inflamed. And, you know, as the next couple of days went on, when I got home, it got increasingly worse. And my wife saw some blood and stuff that I was coughing up and went and got checked. And, you know, it was coming from the viral pneumonia, but I had fluid in my lungs. I had some fluid around my heart. So they followed up on it, did an EKG and echo and everything. And basically, the way your heart pumps out, 55 to 60% of your ejection fractor, if fracture is a good number. I was at 30. And I got a quick text message saying, don't take time, pack a bag real quick, head to the emergency room. I'll fill you in on the way. So by the time I got to the emergency room, my ejection fracture had gone down to 22, which, you know, I was in heart failure.
Wow.
Bad. By the next morning, as they figured that out, as they were sending me in to get an MRI done and about to go in for a heart cath, my ejection fracture was down to 12. So I was...
I was
nosediving and sort of at the one-yard line of, you know, where you need to be or where you don't want to be, really, for your family and your future. When they got inside, I basically genetically had a 99% blockage in my left anterior descending artery, which is what they call the widowmaker. My heart had started to create a secondary pathway, but that was clogged as well. So I was basically, you know, moments away. If I'd have thrown a clot or of any type or had any kind of thickening, I was gone. You know, and that's the kind of thing that's sudden and instantaneous and you don't know. You know, through WWE's wellness program, we had some of the best cardiologists in the world. I never had high blood pressure. I was checked all the time. Never had high blood pressure, never had high cholesterol. You know, I never had an issue. Had a little bit of an athletic heart, which most athletes do, right? A little bit of enlargement, but nothing serious, nothing, never once had been talked about medication or anything else. It just came out of nowhere.
Your lovely wife is standing right over there. You know, everybody knows how much you love that lady. It was not to love about her, for crying out loud. But, you know that you're going through this, and essentially your life is on the line. I imagine that she was right by your side the whole time. What was this like for her, and what was this like for you watching her go through this with you?
She was a rock, always is for me, but never wavered in it. You know, and we have three young girls, 15, 13, 11. You know, suddenly I come home, I'm a little bit sick, and their dad, who's, you know, strong always, suddenly is in the hospital. And I don't know if they understood the consequences of it, but, you know, there's moments in there where you, when they're putting you out for stuff and you think, is this it? You know, do you wake up for this? That's tough to swallow, you know, and makes you think differently, I'm sure, as you've come out of your COVID scare. Makes you think differently about life. Doesn't make you any less driven for the things that you do, but it certainly makes you appreciate the things that you have more, your friends, your family.
Oop. I'm sorry about that. I want to play one last clip from this. Just give me a second. Because now he talks about his future in wrestling. And then I'm going to explain to everyone out there why Triple H has zero chance of ever going back in the ring.
How are you, man?
I'm doing good. You think differently, I'm sure, as you've come out of your COVID scare. Makes you think differently about life. Doesn't make you any less driven for the things that you do, but it certainly makes you appreciate the things that you have more, your friends, your family.
So where is Triple H as we speak? I mean, I'm imagining you've reflected on the workload you had on your shoulders. Yeah. people are looking at you, and as great of an executive as you are, you're also a great champion. What does the future hold for Triple H right now? That's what people want to know.
Yeah.
What do you say to them when asked that question?
Well, for me, you know, as far as in-ring, which I get a lot, I'm done. I would never wrestle again. First of all, I have a defibrillator in my chest, which, you know, probably not a good idea for me to get zapped on live TV.
About that?
I think I was already in a place in my career as far as in-ring goes where it was kind of, I was comfortable with being done and being finished. If the right thing came along, I hadn't really said much, but if the right thing came along and they wanted me to do it, I had had a conversation with Vince McMahon about doing something at WrestleMania this year in Dallas, which we had talked about and there were plans for. Obviously, when this happened, it shut all that down. As far as the schedule, you know, WWE is an intense place. It's 24/7, much like yourself, where you're just running.
Right.
I think it's just put things in perspective for me.
Totally get that. What are you going to be doing in the wrestling world as an executive now? Because we know you're not I can't imagine you're letting that go.
No. My foot's not off the gas. I suppose in some manner I've got to step back a little bit. I'm still in recovery, and my endurance is not exactly quite what it used to be before. But right now I'm back. I'm at the office. I am fully focused on recruiting and development of our talent in the future. And, you know, whether that's building more performance centers, whether that's finding the next young stud that's out there, male or female, like Gable Steveson, you know, who recently two-time NCAA champion, gold medalist at the Olympics, right? His next step is as you saw him leaving his shoes on the mat the other day, his next step is with WWE and with us. It's finding that. It's creating that future. And that's the biggest focus for me. And as we move forward from there, it's making sure that WWE is a success for generations to come.
You know, who just wrote that about AEW? Yeah, Anderson Blitz. All those places saying that Triple H is going to be all elite, that he's going to AEW. They don't have a fucking clue, man. This guy, you know, first of all, let's talk about the in-ring career. Because I even saw, like, wrestling websites today, just careless. A simple Google search would give you your answers. But, you know, we were talking about it yesterday during the SmackDown watch party when they mentioned Triple H also. Triple H's in-ring career is over. Now, one thing I'm not going to do tonight is we're not going to sit here and reminisce on Triple H's career. We do that when he goes in the Hall of Fame. We do that on a different night. We do that, you know, he's still alive. That's what people need to understand. He's still alive. You know, his career was pretty much already done already. What, an occasional match here, one match a year, one match every 2 years. You know, you had plenty of retrospect that could have been done in the last couple of years. So, you know, to sit here and do a whole recap of his greatest moments and everything, motherfucker is still alive. He's still going to be active. But what a lot of people need to understand is, number one, he is nowhere near 100%. Triple H, I just told you about my dad, and I'm not making this about my family, but I'm trying to explain it from someone who has seen it firsthand. Had the almost identical situation happen to his dad, which is me. Triple H has an ICD in him, an implantable cardiovascular defibrillator, ICD. Now, for everyone out there that may not understand the difference between a pacemaker and a defibrillator, and you'll understand why Triple H's career, it's over. It's over. Because a pacemaker, when you have a pacemaker implanted, it helps regulate your heart, your heartbeat, keeps it at a nice pace. It also sends reports back to the doctors of how your heart is working. My mom has a pacemaker. My dad has a pacemaker. And they go and they monitor it. They check to make sure the pacemaker still works. A pacemaker assists the heart. A defibrillator is much more powerful. And when you heard Triple H say that if he's in the ring, he doesn't want to get zapped, if his body, if his heart starts getting under stress, getting irregular, it could be simple taking back bumps. What a defibrillator does is it sends a massive shock to your heart. You ever see on those TV shows, we've seen them mostly on TV shows, Rescue 911, or somebody's having a heart attack, and you see them put those two things on the heart. All right, everyone, clear. Imagine getting a shock like that while you're in the middle of the ring because you're getting really physical in the ring. Even if you're just doing a couple of moves and your heart is like, pardon my French, the fuck are you doing? What are you doing? Your heart doesn't understand. Oh, it's pro wrestling, football, flag football, contact. No, it's going to send a major zap to your heart because they think something is seriously wrong. His career is over. I saw websites and even shows today saying, well, if one day he could come back. There is no if. There is no if. Triple H has heart failure. Triple H, because of the water around the lungs and the water around the heart, we just had this conversation about my mom 3 weeks ago. I guarantee you Triple H is on water pills. And not just simple, regular water pills that it helps you pee a little bit. My mom is on water pills three times the normal dosage that somebody gives to empty out excess water, maybe in your legs. You get water around your lungs, water around your heart. I mean, that could lead to a heart attack, a stroke. This man is going to get smaller in size. He could still exercise. He could still work out. But the days of doing things strenuous for Triple H is over. The stress aspect has to be kept to a minimum. So it's very easy for all of us to look at NXT from afar and say, oh, WWE has removed all of Triple H's powers, and they gave it to Shawn Michaels, and his vision of black and gold is dead. No, the thing that was almost dead was Triple H. They don't have a clue. And you ask yourself from the Keith Lee stuff, because look, when Keith Lee, if you remember about 6 months before Keith Lee actually revealed his life or death situation, you might remember there was a couple of times on the shows where people like, hey, you know, what's up with Keith Lee? And you heard me say a few times, like, look, I heard from a few people that I trust that he had some very, very serious issues with his heart. But I don't want to, you know, get into details publicly because I don't want to be wrong. If he wants to make it public, he will make it public. And you ask yourself, are people just intentionally getting it wrong? Because I look back at the last 7 months of what some people did to Triple H, and it's like awful, disrespectful, horrible. And you know it's going to carry on to the next person that, you know, strikes ill. But the most important thing out of everything is that Triple H is still here. It's going to take Triple H a very, very long time to be able to have, you know, some sense of normalcy. You know, like I said, my father had his heart surgery in February of last year. Triple H had his in, I believe, August. So you realize my father had it 6 months before Triple H, and my father still is nowhere near 100%. He tries. My father's one of those that if he decides I'm just going to sit back and relax the rest of my life, he'll be dead in a month. He's got to keep active. He's got to keep going. And I know Triple H is that same type of person. But, you know, it's rough. It's rough. So all I could say is, you know, what happened to him is horrible. He looks good. He sounds like he's getting stronger. Did you hear how emotionally it rattled him? That he said that, and he went to sleep for the surgery, that he didn't know if he was going to wake up. I swear I will never do another show again if I'm exaggerating one bit right now. You have heard me say at least three or four times over the last year, is that the worst thing for my father, the worst part about his heart surgery, anybody remember what I said four times? The worst part about my father's surgery was this. Not this, but up here in the head. He said that, yeah, they put you out. You don't feel anything. He said, but right before they put you to sleep, that thought goes through your mind. Am I going to wake up? Is this it? There's no guarantee. You're going in the heart. I mean, it's rough. And it's rough for the whole family. It's rough to the person. But, you know, I say now about Triple H that I said about my dad, and I say about any of you out there, you know, I've had two scares with cancer. I had the heart scare in December where, you know, I had to get, you know, my stuff done. But I say this to every single one of you out there, whether it applies to you or a family member in the future, be thankful for today and not 20 years ago. I know there's a lot of stuff going on in this world that is horrible. I know there's a lot of things to complain about that has zero to do with wrestling. But one thing that we can all be thankful for is that now compared to 20 years ago, it is so much different when it comes to heart surgery. Because if this would have happened to Triple H 20 years ago, if it would happen to my father 20 years ago, more than likely they wouldn't have survived. They wouldn't have survived. One other thing I wanted to say about Triple H as well, and people need to understand this too. You probably will never see Triple H without a shirt ever again. You know, I did this, you know, for my Patreon family because I thought it was, you know, we were having a serious conversation about heart surgery with my dad. And I was trying to explain to everyone what happened to him because it hits home for some of you out there as well. And I posted a picture of my father for a few seconds when we did a video show. I posted a picture of my father for a few seconds. And then after the show was over, I edited it out because I'm like, nah, that's too personal. But Triple H has a cut from here all the way down to probably his belly button. I mean, it's not pleasant. And every day that man wakes up, it's a reminder, but it's also, it gives you that extra thanks to still have the opportunity at a second chance on life, to be with your family, to do what you love. So I say this, and it's going to go on deaf ears for a lot of people, but I say this, you know, that hopefully some of those people out there that are so vicious, you know, that just throw accusations out there, you know, maybe be a little bit more respectful towards Triple H. And, you know, I don't give a fuck if you think that he did awesome with the black and gold or is this or that is this. You know, I don't even think Triple H wants to hear that, oh, WWE did you wrong. WWE caused this. WWE, blah, 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 blah. Just fucking show some appreciation and respect for the man. If you don't like his wrestling career, if you don't like him as an executive, then don't even pay attention to him. But believe me when I tell you, you know, if one day that hits home, which I hope it doesn't ever happen to any of you out there, but if one day it hits home for you or a family member or somebody that you love, you know, and you realize that they could be taken away in a split second, you get a second chance at being able to live life. You want to try to live it. That. Why do you think with me, I made so many changes with my shows over here for the last 2.5 years. You get cancer scares twice, diverticulitis surgery, and other bullshit. You know, it makes you start thinking like, man, I don't want to die a fat, grumpy bitch. I want to have fun. I want to smile. I want to laugh. If I look like a goof on these shows, if I get a little bit dumb, if I act a little childish sometimes, I don't give a shit. If I'm having fun and you're having fun, that's all I care about. And that's why I made changes that I did. Don't want to be one of those that just complain, and be bitter and be angry, this and that. Because, you know, you don't want to, one day, tomorrow's never guaranteed. So, all right, we should move on from Triple H. But best wishes go out to him. Continue prayers for his recovery. And, you know, I hope some others can be a little nicer, you know, going forward, you know. Viper 29, his dad had a stroke back in October and still not 100%. Yeah. You know, I'm not, I'm not trying to use you to liven the mood, but you notice I got a haircut. Yeah, I could still put the hat on. Maybe we will. Yeah, we'll put the hat on. It's no joke, man. And you know what sucks about strokes and what happened to Triple H? That could happen to any one of you out there. It could happen to me. It could happen to any of our friends or loved ones. You know, a lot of times it is undetected. It just comes out of nowhere. You know, that's what happened with my dad. You know, I don't need to bring it up again, but that's what happens. You know, my prayers are with you and your dad. You know, one thing I will tell you is, you know, if you're close to your dad, don't waste time. You know, show your support for him. Be part of his rock. You know, be there to support him and just enjoy the time because he got a second chance. So my thoughts are with you. My thoughts are with you. My thoughts are with everyone out there, whether you write something or not. Astro Knight had a hernia surgery 2 days ago. Man, I hope you're feeling good. So you still, I don't know if you're still on that pain medication, but I had hernia surgery about 7-8 years ago. I had a hiatal hernia. I don't know what yours was, but rest. And I think for like a week or 2 weeks, do not lift anything more than like 5 pounds. You know, if you have garbage, you know, if you bring like your garbage to the garbage pail, you know, just fill up the light, you know, the white plastic garbage bags, fill it halfway. Don't risk it because I know someone who felt good and tried to, and he fucked himself up. He had to go for a second surgery. So much love, Astro. And Puffy89, happy birthday, DT. He knows I don't celebrate, but I'm sure no one would mind if I take tomorrow off. Well, here's the deal with tomorrow, and we'll move on after this. Tomorrow the show is still scheduled. I plan on doing the show here. Doesn't start till 8 o'clock at night. I have to work the next day. My fiance has to work the next day. I'm probably going to spend the morning and the afternoon tomorrow with my family. Maybe we'll go out for a lunch or something. So as of right now, tomorrow night is still on. So we'll have the sit down with the birthday boy, DT. But it's not my birthday yet. But thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I really do. All right. So I hope I helped a little bit with the Triple H conversation, you know, especially about the defibrillator. You know, that's something, it doesn't get better. You know, it's not like a torn pectoral muscle that he goes to the doctors, you know, 2 years from now. Wow, your blood pressure is great. You're this. You're that. No, you have this and it's hereditary. You have a defibrillator. It doesn't get better. You maintain what you have. The man's in-ring career is over. That's it. And anyone that still teases that, you know, either they're just naive and ignorant or they are intentionally doing that just to bring attention on themselves. But just understand his in-ring career is over. You want to do a little research on defibrillator's effect? I had a picture. I don't know if I put it in this computer, but I wanted to show you what the defibrillator looked like. Do I have it here? I may not have it here. I don't. I'll show it to you tomorrow or Monday. But the funny thing is, if you ever saw my spinal stimulator, it almost looks like the same thing. The battery pack looks almost identical. But, you know, I wish him well. I wish him well. Okay. Let's talk about something that is beautiful. I know it put a lot of smiles on people's faces the last 24 hours, and that is the announcement that Shad Gaspard will be getting the Warrior Award. And beautiful, interesting Hall of Fame, because right now we are paying tribute to Undertaker, Vader, Shad Gaspard, and Charmel, which I expect more names to be added this week, last minute. It might come off as a little bit, you know, too abrupt, but, you know, still, this was the right way to go. Definitely expect JTG to appear. And trust me, MVP and everyone else that had the privilege of being friends with this man, this is a beautiful thing. And I was very happy to see this. Now, a question that a lot of you keep asking me, and I'm going to answer it here now about this, that, you know, whether you agree with my answer or not, that's fine. But a lot of you ask me, DT, should they change the name of the award from the Warrior Award to the Shad Gaspard Award? And my answer is no. My answer is no. Shad Gaspard saving his son's life is beyond heroic. It's beautiful and it's tragic at the same time. But because of WWE and because of it being a global entertainment conglomerate, and I say this with no disrespect intended, but Shad Gaspard is a beautiful name for us wrestling fans, but it's not a commercial worldwide name. Warrior, even if the Ultimate Warrior never existed in WWE, if he was never on this earth, the definition of a warrior is heroic in itself. So there are multiple reasons why it's called the Warrior Award. And for Shad, to you change that to Shad Gaspard, it would fit for us as wrestling fans, but in a commercial standpoint, it doesn't make sense. And yeah, I know. You know, you look at Gaspard, you look at Warrior, and Gaspard probably, if anybody of the two should have an award named after him, it would be him. Well, guess what? There's the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. There's other Hall of Fames out there. There's no reason why they can't call one of their awards a Shad Gaspard. But no, I do not believe, as much as I absolutely appreciate Shad Gaspard, just a wonderful, like I said, beautiful and tragic. But no, I don't believe the award should go to be changed to his name. So I just wanted to mention that. Okay. We're going to talk a little bit about SmackDown, talk a little bit about Rampage, Raw on Monday. Couple of quick things also. A lot of you were asking me, what is my schedule next week with it being WrestleMania week as far as the shows go? Well, I thought about it, and this is what I have come up with. So this Monday will be your normal Breakfast Soup Raw episode. Myself and Mish will discuss the go-home Raw before WrestleMania. Any news that transpires last minute from this weekend. Tuesday will be your normal Patreon show. Yes, also Tuesday we will be doing the watch party for anybody that's interested. Wednesday, we'll have Wednesday Night Dynamite. I think it'll be a little bit more abbreviated. I will have predictions for NXT Stand and Deliver on Wednesday as well. Now, Thursday is going to be the special episode. Thursday, for the last couple of months, it's been a Q&A for our YouTube channel members, but this Thursday, it will be live WrestleMania predictions, night one and night two. So it'll start at 9:05 p.m. This is open to everyone tuning in. If you want to join me live for WrestleMania predictions, 9 o'clock Thursday night. Saturday afternoon, I will be doing an NXT Stand and Deliver recap. Should be pretty quick because I heard Stand and Deliver is only going to be about 2.5 hours. They don't want it to go late because of WrestleMania night one taking place later that night. So Saturday afternoon, right after Stand and Deliver, I will be here live for a recap. I will also be live Saturday night, right after night one of WrestleMania, with a recap. Sunday, after night two, we'll do another recap. And then next Monday, the following Monday, will be the Raw after WrestleMania. And that's going to be big. Veer is going to appear. Also, I mentioned this late tonight. The watch party Friday next week, Rampage and SmackDown, is still on. We still have watch parties. Normal schedule. So, also, mark it on your calendar. Thursday, April 7th. This will be the Thursday after WrestleMania. The Forbidden Door podcast, Forbidden Door, has been open once again. And on Thursday, April 7th, probably at 9 o'clock as well, I will be live right here with Joe Cronin. So I will be posting a thread on YouTube probably about a week before. So to give everyone an opportunity to send in a question, we will select a handful. Really, really good ones that we think everybody would definitely enjoy. I'm sure he and I have a difference of opinion on a lot of topics. So Joe Cronin will be here live April 7th. And we have other people, you know, but a lot of you wanted to see Joe. And what was cool about it, too, is Joe wanted to be here also. Joe and I were going to do something a year ago. And because I'm still new here and still trying to find my footing, you know, it just never seemed to work out. But we decided we're going to do it right after Mania. So April 7th, if you want to join us. So, all right. SmackDown yesterday. Couple of things right off the bat. And look, I'm not going to do a full recap. There's no need to. Most of you have already seen SmackDown. But of a couple of fun highlights and important points to make. First of all, next Friday on SmackDown, they're going to do the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. For those that may not remember, they did that last year. So this is the second year in a row that they're doing this. Now, the participants announced so far for the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, for those that do not have video, Commander Aziz, the Viking Raiders, Madcap Moss, Mansoor, R-Truth, Shanky, Reggie, Drew Gulak, Akira Tozawa, Cedric Alexander, Shelton Benjamin, Apollo Crews, Damian Priest, Finn Balor, Robert Roode, and Jinder Mahal. Some additional names will be announced. There might be a match on Raw Monday to determine more participants. Now, something that I did not even realize, let me announce another match that is taking place next Friday as well, and a little tidbit that you're going to find very interesting. Last night on SmackDown, Ricochet lost twice. Now, the funny thing is, during the watch party, and there's a few people live right now from Darren and others that will remember, last night in the watch party, we called exactly what was going to happen on the second match. That once Angel defeated Ricochet with Humberto's distraction, the minute Ricochet challenged Humberto Carrillo to a match, we knew Ricochet was losing that also. When Angel went under the ring, everybody realized, oh, he's going to hold Ricochet's leg, and he's not going to be able to make the 10 count, and that's exactly what happened. So as a result, next Friday on SmackDown, Ricochet will be defending the Intercontinental Championship against Humberto Carrillo and Angel Garza in a three-way. And it's going to be a good match. I mean, believe me, if you've never seen Angel and Humberto go at it one-on-one, they actually really, really put on some awesome performances going against each other. And they'll tease it a little bit. But yes, that Darren, thank you. That was fun yesterday calling that. But here's the thing. I didn't even realize this until somebody sent it to me. Do you know that the Intercontinental title, the last time the Intercontinental title was defended on a pay-per-view, WrestleMania of last year. We have had a whole year of pay-per-view, and the Intercontinental title has not been defended once on pay-per-view. So, you know, when everyone out there is like, you mean to tell me the IC title's not, listen, and the US title's not being defended at WrestleMania either. But let's also be honest for a minute. Let's be honest. If it would have been Finn Balor versus Damian Priest at WrestleMania, the same people that are complaining to WWE right now saying, you can't, oh my God, you can't even book Finn Balor and Damian Priest at WrestleMania. If WWE would have done that, those very same people would have said, the hell you booking Finn Balor versus Damian Priest at WrestleMania? That's a Raw match. That's nothing to look. That's not WrestleMania. So no matter what, WWE wouldn't have won with that. And that's WWE's fault. That's WWE's fault. No question. But, you know, the fact that the IC title has not been defended on pay-per-view in a year is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. So, yesterday on SmackDown, we had some funny-ass segments once again with Brock Lesnar. Basically, Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman were late to the show. They were seen in an SUV. Some people called it a limo. And they went to Del Fresco's, which is a very expensive steakhouse here in New York. When they said $5,000 for the sides, well, that's a little bit much, but it is crazy. You'll never see yours truly at Del Fresco's. I think the only time I ever even saw Del Fresco's was an episode of Impractical Jokers when they played waiters there. But Brock Lesnar infiltrates Roman Reigns' dressing room. And, you know, the days of beautiful fruit platters and cheese platters, those days are gone. Little bowl of grapes, a little bowl of strawberries, one champagne bottle, or it might have even been Moscato. And Brock Lesnar, he's eating the berries. He gets pissed off. He's just throwing shit around. He takes a slug of the champagne. Hell is a shit. Pfft, he spits it out all over the place, throws the bottle against the wall. We had Caleb Braxton try to interview a little bit, you know, for a little bit, because Brock Lesnar threatened to make Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns threatened Brock Lesnar when he was in the SUV. When I get there, if you're still in my locker room, I'm going to make you bleed again. So Caleb Braxton's like, you nervous? You know, you afraid? You think you should leave his locker room? And Brock's like, nope. Give me something else to break. Because he ran out of things to break. I think he broke the lamp. So later on in the night, Roman shows up. Paul Heyman shows up. Paul Heyman very, very nervous. They come out. Crowd is chanting loud, Suplex City. And Brock is in the back. Roman Reigns disrespecting the fans. And we see Brock with an axe. And he starts messing up the SUV with the axe. And Roman Reigns, I got four of them. So Brock continues destroying the vehicle. And then Brock ends up coming out through the crowd. And Roman Reigns pretty much gets out of Dodge. Usos show up. They get out of Dodge as well. And Brock is just nailing security people with chair shots. And, you know, look, Brock and Roman is the hottest feud going on. And that match does seem important. We've already discussed why it truly is one of the biggest matches in WWE history at WrestleMania. I'm very curious to see what they do afterwards with the fact that it's unified. I don't think that'll last more than 6 months at the most. I don't even think it may not even last 3 months. But, you know, they have done a great job. Brock Lesnar alone. I mean, we're kind of complacent now with Roman Reigns as a heel, because for the first year and a half, everybody, oh, Roman Reigns, MVP of the COVID era, MVP, MVP, Roman Reigns totally transformed himself. You know, awesome as the tribal chief, Roman Reigns, top heel, you know, every legends praising him. I think now it's getting a little complacent. It's dragging on a little bit. But then before you can even think about that, you get Brock Lesnar totally, totally transforming his personality. People, including yours truly, actually think that he's having a good time. That it's not just about showing up to work, getting a paycheck, and going back home. He kind of likes destroying things. Kind of likes laughing, you know, giving high fives to fans, especially kids. You know, Brock Lesnar looks like he's having fun. And you think about Brock Lesnar over the last 10 years, especially those years that he had the stranglehold on that championship and was rarely ever on TV. When Paul Heyman in interviews tried to play it off that Brock is like Andre the Giant, should be just a special occasion once in a while. Did you ever think that we'd get this Brock Lesnar right now? We take it for granted sometimes. We take it for granted. So last night, Shinsuke Nakamura over Jimmy Uso, building on that tag team match at WrestleMania. We get the return of Xavier Woods. We think Ridge Holland is going to have a match with Kofi. Kofi surprises everyone that, no, it's not going to be me. He brings out Xavier Woods and a very, very fast match. We even thought yesterday, wonder if they ended it abruptly because of, you know, maybe Xavier tweaked something. It just felt a pin out of nowhere. Ridge Holland getting distracted, fruit roll-up. I mean, you went to the bathroom before you even washed your hands, the match was over. So Xavier Woods with the win. We had, as we said, Angel beating Humberto, and then, Angel beating Ricochet, and then Humberto Carrillo beating Ricochet to set up the three-way next Sunday. We had confrontation with Ronda Rousey and Charlotte, and honestly, again, everyone, I'm trying so hard to look past it, but Ronda Rousey, just so matter of fact. I know she gives a shit, but she's lost that fire. Like you know what it feels like? That Ronda Rousey legitimately has to get pissed off to get pissed off. If you understand what I mean by that. I mean, she's trying to like hype herself up. When I was 14, I broke my leg or broke my arm and I enjoyed it. What I just did, I showed 100 times more emotion than Ronda Rousey. Yesterday, she's like, when I was 14, I broke my body part and I realized I enjoyed it. And everybody's like, oh. Almost no emotion whatsoever. And the worst part of it all, and I heard it yesterday, didn't think about it much until I watched it back today. When she said that at WrestleMania she's going to be the women's SmackDown champion instead of saying a SmackDown women's champion. And look, you make mistake, it happens, whatever. But what she said afterwards, she's like, I'm going to be the next women's SmackDown champion or SmackDown women's champion. Why did they even need to put SmackDown in the name? You know, it's ad-libbing. What's worse than Ronda Rousey trying to be scripted? Script and anger? Ad-libbing as well. And Charlotte trying to play off of it. You know, if you notice, they're not allowing Charlotte to make fun of what I call Xanax Ronda. You know, if anybody out there has ever had Xanax, that just relaxed, no care in the world, no anxiety whatsoever. It's like Xanax Ronda. You know, they won't crack jokes about that. You know, Charlotte dodging that completely, and I don't blame her, but man, that has not been good with her promos. Not at all. I mean, I expect the match to be a banger. I really do. I think their match is going to be really, really physical, and Charlotte's going to take a beating. But the verbal confrontations have not been good. Not at all. Sami Zayn with Megan Morant, and Sami talking about, you know, his upcoming match and talking about how, you know, all the Jackass guys will be able to do, you know, they could set things up, and Johnny Knoxville's used to doing that with that. But me, it's good. He's going to experience punishment like he's never seen. I don't know why, but I am so looking forward to seeing what they have up their sleeve with this match. I expect cameos from some Jackass guys. Absolutely. I think some of those Jackass guys are going to be necessary in order to take some bumps. I expect Sami Zayn to injure some of those Jackass guys because they'll be willing to take it. They'll be willing to, they'll love it. I'll do it for free. Fuck that. Fuck yeah. So I'm telling you, I know some of you out there are cringing with the idea. I was never a Jackass fan. I was never a Johnny Knoxville fan. For the last 3 or 4 months, you sold me on Johnny Knoxville. It's going to be good. And again, you don't need a 5-star match. This is fun. It's not normal pro wrestling. I don't want to see this every couple of months. This feels different, though. Maybe because we realize how hard Sami Zayn has been working it. I mean, the phone stuff in itself was beautiful. And yeah, all you need is a burner phone. You could buy a burner phone, put the number on the air tomorrow. You know, you see people that do that once in a while on Twitter. Look, if you really need somebody to talk to or text, you know, here's my number. They went out and bought a $20 burner phone. Oh my God, how thoughtful. 99% of the texts don't get responses. We had Sasha Banks win a four-way yesterday, defeating Shayna Baszler, Rhea Ripley, and Zelina Vega. Natalya, Carmella, Liv Morgan, and Naomi were all removed from ringside. I wouldn't be surprised if those four end up having a match next Friday on SmackDown. Could almost bank on that. And that was pretty much your episode of SmackDown. So a fun show. Oh, we also had a segment with Pat McAfee, and it was funny because Michael Cole started talking about Pat McAfee versus Austin Theory. Austin Theory shows up at ringside, the announcer's table, gets in Pat McAfee's face, runs away. Pat McAfee chases him to the back, and Austin Theory runs into Mr. McMahon's dressing room, closes the door, and Pat McAfee doesn't have the balls to open the door. He has respect for Mr. McMahon, but that's another match. And I think it's safe to say that Pat McAfee is definitely getting the pin on that one. So I tell you, I'm looking forward to Mania. It's going to be a very draining week, no question, especially those 48 hours. Not every match is going to be WrestleMania quality, but like I said on Thursday, you go back and you look at some of your favorite WrestleManias from years past, and you usually will come up with 3 matches. On average, some you might have 4, some you might have 2. But on average, you have about 3 matches that you will say, oh my God, I remember this match, I remember this match, I remember this match. And we were even talking about WrestleMania 3 the other night. Everybody talks about 2 matches, Hogan Andre, Savage Steamboat. You know, so if you get 3 matches each night that are bangers, you're telling me Seth and Cody's not going to be a banger? You're telling me Edge and AJ Styles is not going to be a banger? Roman Brock is not going to be a banger? You know, and there's so many other matches lined up. There's some sleeper hits as well. You actually, if we get 3 really, really top quality matches on each night, I don't know how you could say that it was not a good Mania. So I keep an open mind. I keep an open mind. So now, as we said for next week, you know, the Battle Royal, the 3-way, and we'll probably have those 4 women have their match. On Monday, the Raw go home for WrestleMania. A couple of previews been announced, but I want to show you a Seth Rollins tweet that he showed earlier today. It's supposed to be a screenshot of him getting a text message from Vince McMahon. And it says, Seth, someone from my office is going to be reaching out to you to set up a meeting at corporate headquarters. I want you in my office, 9 a.m. on Monday. Shut up. So Seth put that on Twitter with a whole bunch of laughing emojis. And we'll see what happens on Raw Monday. So that is what Seth put on Twitter. On Monday also, Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar will be appearing. We have The Miz versus Rey Mysterio, and Logan Paul will be in the corner of The Miz. We have the Street Profits versus Alpha Academy. We have Sasha Banks, Naomi, Liv Morgan, and Rhea Ripley versus Shayna Baszler, Natalya, Carmella, and Queen Zelina. And then we have the Usos. This is a pretty cool match. The Usos versus RK-Bro. No titles on the line. So the Usos will be appearing on Raw this Monday. So pretty cool. And it looks like a very solid episode of Raw coming up. Hell, and they didn't even put Seth Rollins in the preview. So there's rumors going around that Omos is going to show up at WrestleMania, issue an open challenge, and Gable Stevenson may accept the challenge. If Gable Stevenson beats Omos in a very short match, I don't think Omos loses any credibility. Gable Stevenson is, you know, an exception to the rule, and I expect it to be two or three moves at the most, but that is a rumored match that is floating around. Unless they add Omos to the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. In fact, I'm curious with all of you, would you rather see Omos versus Gable Stevenson as an unannounced match, or would you rather see Gable Stevenson and Omos in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal and one of those two winning it? So post it in the comment section after. I'm very curious which one you would actually prefer. For me, I probably would rather have one of those two win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Of course, it doesn't feel as important as it was. You know, that Battle Royal has been around, I think, for 8 years already. You know, it's been around a lot longer than I think some think. So you can't choose neither. You have to choose one or the other. So last night we had Rampage, and Tony Khan, bait and switch. We call it like it is. For those that don't know, he teased that on Rampage they were going to be revealing a new signing to AEW, and we did not get the announcement of a new signing. What we got instead was this, that on Wednesday's Dynamite, there'll be a tournament, yes, another tournament, a tournament qualifier for the Owen Hart Foundation Cup, and it is going to be the Bunny versus a mystery wrestler, and that mystery wrestler will be a new signing. So instead of revealing, like they said they were on Rampage, it was bait and switch. Yesterday they announced this is what we're getting on Wednesday. Now, there's a lot of rumors that it could be Athena, who you knew as Ember Moon. Some people think Toni Storm. One thing I could say with certainty is that whoever it is going to be a babyface. Obviously, whoever it is facing a bunny. Whoever it is going to be someone that is looked at respectfully, because with the Owen Hart Cup, the first person that wins a qualifying match that is going to be a babyface, it has got to be someone looked at very respectfully. I think that is pretty much a guarantee. So I'm curious who you think is going to be the person revealed. A lot of people think it's Toni Storm. Now, I want to make this clear. Toni Storm having an OnlyFans does not make her disrespectful. But when you think of the Owen Hart Cup and the prestige and this, you know, the importance of it, whoever that first person is that is not yet signed has got to be someone with no baggage, no controversy, no nothing. So I'm curious who it's going to be. My gut feeling that it may be Athena, Ember Moon. I wouldn't mind it. I think that would be pretty cool. You know, the only problem I have with it is you look at Ruby Soho as a perfect example. She came in on fire, all this momentum, everybody singing a song, and now everybody sings a song, and that's pretty much it. I mean, you see how awful some people are used. There's too many people. There's just too many people. So we will see. I do not believe it'll be Nia Jax. On Monday, you know what? Mia Yim is not a bad idea either. Mia Yim is actually a pretty good one. A few of you were bringing up Mia Yim. I like that. Yeah, I thought of, you know, is any women that might have been indirectly trained, you know, not in the Heart Dungeon. Look, if you were trained in the Heart Dungeon, let's be honest, no disrespect intended, you're trained in the Heart Dungeon, you're fucking old. You know? I mean, the Heart Dungeon has been around for a little while. So you can't think about that anymore, but it's got to be someone who may have, you know, looked up to, you know, a member of the Hearts growing up. So I like some of your choices. All right. So we had that bait and switch yesterday. Not a big deal. Not a big deal. Dustin Rhodes beats Lance Archer in what is sort of an upset. You know, the Jay Lethal promo yesterday fascinated me because of Wednesday's episode of Wednesday Night Dynamite. And I'll be honest, I have had people say to me in DMs more than anything, DT, there are people within AEW that do tune into your show. All right, they may not like you all that much, and they may, you know, not acknowledge you publicly, but they do try to see the pulse of what podcasters are saying. I'm not the only one. They tune into Jason. They tune into Joe Cronin. They tune into JD. They tune into everybody. They want to see the pulse. I don't believe the Jay Lethal stuff has anything to do with it, because we just spent on Wednesday, though, talking about how awful the ranking system is, and we focused on Jay Lethal's record more than anything else. Jay Lethal's promo yesterday on Rampage was exactly what we talked about on his record with the rankings. And he's talking about, you know, his win losses and, you know, his losses, people cheated and this and that. And he's not getting the opportunities that he should be getting, and his win loss is nice and all that. But it's like, guys, gals, let's be honest for a minute. 3 weeks from now, is that promo going to amount to anything? Honestly, is it going to amount to anything? No, it's not. It's not. So getting back to Lance Archer versus Dustin, there was an exposed turnbuckle. It backfired against Lance Archer. Dustin Rhodes knocks him into the exposed turnbuckle, gets the win afterwards. Lance Archer beats the shit out of Dustin, puts him to a table, bloodies him up. And I did see Jason's tweet last night. We were doing a watch party, so I didn't see it till this morning. But he's spot on. You do table shots or you have people bleeding every single show, it's not, it doesn't feel like it's a big deal anymore. Somebody gets busted open, oh, big fucking deal. Part of the show. There's no emotional attachment. You're here. I know this is going to sound like a whacked out comparison. You watch documentaries on serial killers. I know people like it. This guy nuts. You look at documentaries on serial killers. What do you always seem to learn about them? The pattern. That they experience the death of someone in person. It might be an animal. And they get numb to it. That, you know, the fantasy or whatever, you see somebody dies or you see someone violently hurt, you see it enough, you get numb to it. And you see even, and yes, I'm doing an extreme analogy. My point is that if you see something terrible, whether it's wrestling or even worse, you see it enough, you get numb to it. It's not a big deal anymore. you watch horror movies in a movie theater and you go to enough of them, you know, unless, you know, you're sitting there and it's quiet. And then I'm not going to scream because I don't want to wake anybody up upstairs. But, you know, you're watching and it's quiet and the movie's quiet. All of a sudden you hear, everybody will jump out of their seat. But if you see enough gore, you know, you get numb to it. Same thing with some of this stuff. Yeah, some good examples of some killers. I mean, yeah, I've watched a lot of documentaries, binge watching during the COVID era. And that's one thing that I notice over and over again. If you see something that you get numb to it and it doesn't seem like a big deal anymore. Fuego del Sol, and we vented on this yesterday too. Fuego del Sol calls out the House of Black and Dark Order sort of come to the aid of Fuego. This is not about elevating the Dark Order. They were fucking number one contenders. You see the pattern with the ranking system now? Everybody gets the number one contendership and then they lose. Happened to the Acclaimed. Happened to Private Party. Happened to John Silver and Alex Reynolds this past week. Happened to Lance Archer on Friday. Happened to Jay Leto's right. You get all the way to the top, and then you lose. John Silver and Alex Reynolds, Dark Order, already ranked number one. I mean, you have the Dark Order come out to the aid of Fuego. What does that tell you? House of Black are not even in the top five tag teams. You remember when they came in, and it felt like Brody King and Malakai Black were destined to be your next tag team champions. And then they put Buddy Matthews, which I have nothing against Buddy Matthews, they put him in there, and it's like, okay, there's the excuse for them not to be in the tag team hunt for gold. That's why the Trios title is coming out in 2022. The Trios belt will be out in 2022. They are not going to go a full year with factions of Trios and not have a championship. Because now you have dropped this down to the House of Black feuding with members of the Dark Order. There's a reason why a lot of them were never in other major promotions. You know, not saying that they're not good, and I'm not saying that they're not well-liked amongst the AEW regulars. But as I said the other day, every indie promotion should have homegrown guys that may not be destined for WWE or New Japan or, you know, TNA at the time or WCW or big promotion, but in their local town, they're larger than life. Everybody loves them. You should have that. Why do you think indie promotions will bring a major name to their area? You don't have somebody come to the area and face someone else come to the area. You bring Lance Archer and you bring Brian Cage to Jose Steak and Wrestling in blah, 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 Texas, that's in some town that only has 5,000 residents. You're not going to have Lance Archer take on Brian Cage. You're going to have Lance Archer face their local to elevate their local. You ever look at indie cards, you'll see stars come in and they usually will fight somebody from the local town to bring them up. Doesn't give them one shot closer of making it to the big time, but that's what they do. And this doesn't feel like a step up for the Dark Order. It feels like a step down for the House of Black. Red Dragon, Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly beating 10 and Allen Angels. And here is storyline stupidity. Once again, you have Preston Vance, 10, the mask. They turn it sideways. He can't see. So he gets knocked on his ass. Red Dragon hits the finisher on Allen Angels. They get the win. I got to ask you all this, seriously. This is now three or four matches where we've seen Preston Vance lose, where a wrestler twists his mask. I got to ask you all an honest, serious question. And AEW, if you do tune into these shows, believe me, what I'm about to say, probably about 80% of everybody watching your product is thinking this also. It's just a lot of people don't have the balls to say it because they don't want to offend or they don't have the mob go after them. When somebody pulls Preston Vance's mask sideways, why doesn't he just turn it back? Pretend this is a mask, and hopefully I don't expose my tummy. But here, I'm Preston Vance. This is my mask. Why would Preston Vance go? Why doesn't Preston Vance, look, this is the mask. Why didn't Preston Vance, like, why doesn't he just pull the mask back? Are you fucking kidding me? Is this romper room wrestling? I was thinking about that yesterday. He pulled the mask again. And I'm like, hey, schmuck. 10 years ago, I probably used the P word. That kind of sounds like the writer John Pollock, but, you know, rhymes with, forget it. No, seriously, they pull the mask, and instead of just going, fuck you doing, pull it back. AEW, stop that shit. It's fucking awful. Jesus Christ. So that's what happened yesterday. Nyla Rose over Maddie Rinkowski in a squash. QT Marshall presents his certificate of accomplishment to Hook, and he smashes it over, who's that schmuck's name? The one with the blue hair? That was a QT Marshall, Nightmare Factory. What's his name? Oh, I can't remember his name. Chat room, bail me out on this one. Hook smashes the plaque in his face. Aaron Solo. I remembered it. I can't believe Aaron Solo, I remembered your name. He smashes the plaque in Aaron Solo's head. As he walks down the rampway, Danhausen comes out. And apparently it has no effect on Hook. Oh, man. We joked about that, too, with Star Trek. You know, remember the spoofs of Star Trek on Saturday Night Live? I know I'm kind of revealing my age, but was it Chevy Chase or Dan Aykroyd that was doing Spock? And he was, you know, if you ever watched the original Star Trek, Mr. Spock, you want to fuck with someone? If they really wanted to do a really fucked up version of Star Trek, you know, it could have been a form of date rape. Spock could be in the bar. Hey, how you doing? All right, what's your name? Oh, I'm Spock. What's you? Oh, my name is Maria. Oh, that's cool. That's cool. Hey, you know, you think after we are done over here, maybe you want to go, you know, go to the beach and watch the sunrises tonight. You know, I kind of like you. Come here. Let me put my arm around you. All right, go Klingons. And all Spock's got to do, hey, baby. That's it. Saturday Night Live, they did spoofs of Mr. Spock where he went up to someone and went like this. You know, and wouldn't do anything. The mind meld. No, that's not the mind meld. The mind meld would just read the mind. Trust me. I guarantee you, if Mr. Spock, could you imagine if Mr. Spock put the mind meld on Joey Ryan? Especially when he was in his days and he wanted to be hugged. I could picture Mr. Spock doing the mind meld, and he's got his hand over Joey Ryan's head, and he's reading Joey Ryan's mind, and then Mr. Spock out of nowhere. What are you, nuts? What do you want to do to Uhura? You son of a bitch. You fucking predator. I could picture Mr. Spock doing that. I want Mr. Spock doing a mind meld on Joey Ryan. That hurt. This is what I meant about earlier about just having fun. We're talking stupid shit, but we're almost done with the show anyway. So the Vulcan death grip. That's what it is. The Vulcan death grip. But all right. So Danhausen does his voodoo shit, has no relevance, doesn't do anything to Hook. Danhausen shooting blanks. So next week we got FTR versus the Gun Club. Gun Club working their way up the ranks. Watch what happens next week. Andrade versus Darby Allin. And then we have Evil Uno, Fuego and Stu Grayson versus the House of Black. Ricky Starks over Swerve Strickland in the main event. It was a good match. It was an excellent match. We were having a field day with Aubrey Edwards yesterday. You know, one of the most awful things about Aubrey Edwards that we're just fed up with now is, you know, I understand the lack of enforcing rules in AEW, and that's why some matches do more than what they do. But the pattern we see with Aubrey Edwards now is she'll yell at someone interfering in the match, but then she backs off. Like, if you watch it closely, you watch it yesterday with Red Dragon, she'll start like, hey, what are you doing? Get out of that ring. And then she just backs off. And then when somebody hits, like she's surfing, you know, and it just loses it. That's why you will never, ever see any of those AEW referees, especially Aubrey. You will never see Aubrey Edwards in WWE. They know whoever fucking trained her to act like she was on like some Nintendo Wii game or something, like surfing, like, you know, and, you know, she's taking the bumps better than the wrestlers. Somebody punches someone in the face, she's like, and then because a heel wins, she's angry. She's upset because the heel won. And she's looking at them, you cocksucker for cheating. Awful. So we get interference from Hobbs. Little distraction on Swerve Strickland. This was even worse yesterday. We had two guys holding this big sign for Ricky Starks because it was in his second hometown in Dallas, Texas, whatever it was yesterday, in Texas. And they're at the announcer's table, and you had some regular-looking guy on the left, and then you had some typical, and I'm heavy too, but some typical heavy guy with too much facial hair that, you know, will just, everything's amazing, unbelievable. You know, oh my God, I'm watching Sting, I'm crying right now. You could just feel it. And you could tell, like, you know, maybe a little body odor as well. Singing Judas at the top of his lungs, you know. There'll be an instrumental on the screen and somehow they know the lyrics to it. And Sting's song. You see some of these assholes in the crowd, Sting's music is playing. They're like, I'm like, there's no fucking lyrics. What the hell are you doing? So after the match is over, they're walking down the rampway, and you know somebody's going through the sign, and they stop in the middle, and you see feet underneath the sign, and sure enough, you see Keith Lee throw somebody through the sign. And Keith Lee starts assaulting the two guys holding the sign. I beg you, I beg you, I beg you. Go back and watch that segment and look at the guy on the right. Keith Lee hits him, and you could tell that guy is not a wrestler. I don't know who he blew. I don't know if he's a Make-A-Wish guy. I don't know if he just is as a friend of a friend of a friend or he won some damn contest. But Keith Lee, this big, burly, fucking huge, should be main eventing guy, kicks this guy, hits him, and a guy, I think he was almost saying to himself, oh my God, I can't wait to tweet this later on. He just didn't know how to sell. Keith Lee just throws him against the side of the guardrail. I'm like, good. I hope he fucking falls on his bearded face. And it's not even like some moron's going to say, oh, you're jealous, Don Tony. No, I don't want to take a bump like that. It was so awful yesterday. I wanted to like Rampage so much yesterday. And, you know, the matches weren't bad, but there's so much bullshit that surrounds it that it's just a joke. There's a reason why there's reports going around based on the ratings that came out already that Rampage might be around 500,000 viewers. Blame it on the war. Blame it on college basketball. Blame it on the college basketball. Impact Wrestling went from 68,000 viewers to 100,000. That's a 45% jump. And there were college basketball playoffs yesterday. So explain that one. Yesterday was not a good episode of Rampage. Was not good at all. But Keith Lee makes the save, sort of. And we're probably going to get Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland versus Ricky Starks and Powerhouse Hobbs. Ultimately, this is leading to Hobbs versus Keith Lee, which I'm obviously looking forward to. But, you know, like all this stuff to get to that point, you know, too much, too much. So that was your episode of Rampage yesterday. I am looking at my notes. I think we are done. I think we are done. Yes, we are done. If we have, let's answer some questions in the chat. You don't need the super chat, obviously. You do not need to. But if you want to, obviously it gets a little priority. Shout out to Roger Rubio. No sweet potato fries, absolutely not, but I will have coffee on you tomorrow, absolutely. I definitely plan on going out for breakfast tomorrow, so thank you, Roger. So, in the chat room, you know, if you have a question you want me to answer something quick, just before your question, write in capital letters question or put letter Q, you know, capital Q. It makes it easier for me to spot. My worst birthday, Kevin, honestly, I never had a bad birthday. I normally don't celebrate all that much. I, on Thursday, answered my favorite birthdays, but I never had a bad one. I mean, some of them are depressing. And yes, when you get older, see what happens now with yours truly, when I get to certain ages, I start thinking of some of my favorite wrestlers in the end of their careers when they had like retirement matches. So now I'm getting to the territory like, wow, you know, now I know what Terry Funk felt like when he won the ECW heavyweight title in 1997. Like when you start getting to that age, that's where it's fucked up. You know, when I was heavier, I'd be like, hey, I weigh the same as Cactus Jack. Oh, I weigh the same as Hulk Hogan, 302. You know, thank God now I'm only in the 260s, low 260s, but still, you get to that age, you get a little bit depressed, to be honest with you. So, Edge has no neck issues right now, Charlie. My favorite Cody moment from his final run in WWE. The only moment that I really enjoyed with Cody is when they were doing the storyline a little bit with Dustin, and Dusty was in the company as well. And I think they even won the tag titles for a little while. When Cody and Dustin teamed up, that's probably where I enjoyed Cody the most. Obviously, this is a much different Cody Rhodes. And Cody, you know, he's not eating humble pie. He will have to eat some humble pie. But Cody now believes that he is an elite, no pun intended, you know, member of the wrestling community. One thing about Cody, since he left, his stock has risen dramatically. He didn't have those type of promos when he was in WWE. So, we cannot watch WrestleMania in a watch party. The company does not have an agreement yet with Peacock to allow it, but it is going to hopefully happen in the near future. So, and big shout out to everybody who was part of the watch parties this week. You know, unfortunately, I had to remove the accounts of a bunch of people who signed up a couple of weeks ago and never showed up. But it's fun. I mean, and yesterday we had UK, Australia, Israel, United States, all representing, people tuning in 4 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning. So it's fun. It's fun. And, you know, we just sit there, we watch the wrestling, we talk, we have some conversation. So, let's see, just going through the questions. Why did Ronda look like she was forced at gunpoint to slap fans' hands last night? She's not forced to. She's encouraged. I think Ronda Rousey just feels awkward out there. She's getting paid a lot. She does enjoy wrestling. You know, she's not thrilled at the reaction online by fans. She gets a nice pop live in attendance. So you would think that she would feel more comfortable at a live event, but it's not the case. I mean, the one thing that Ronda Rousey has going for her at WrestleMania, she don't have to cut a promo at Mania. Nobody has to cut a promo at Mania, you know, as far as that match goes. So she could get by the last SmackDown she should be good for Mania. So, Steph says Ronda is overpaid. Do you have any idea how much Ronda is getting? You know, I understand what you're saying, though. The return on Ronda hasn't come through yet. We got to see what happens at Mania. If they have an awesome match at Mania, we'll forget quickly about those horrible promos. But something's got to change, because her career in WWE at this moment doesn't end at Mania. It continues. Somebody sent me the Money in the Bank poster for, I think, July, and she's right smack in the middle of the poster. So she's staying around for a bit. So, all right, we're almost out of here. Casey is Raw. Shout out to you, Casey. Casey is going to his third WrestleMania. The others were 17 and 29. Oh, Casey, you will have a great time. Like I said, it's going to be tiresome. Many, many hours. Probably too many hours. But it's two different events, which happen to be under the same banner. And I think you'll have a great time. You know, have a good time. Seriously, anybody that's going, have an awesome. 17 was great. Absolutely, 17 was awesome. Did I see what Bret Hart said about Goldberg recently, Rojo Bear? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Just to summarize everyone, Bret Hart talking about how Goldberg cost Bret an estimated $16 million from having to retire early. I don't remember the exact amount. It was around 12 or 16 million, Bret estimates. And that's not a crazy number. But he says that Goldberg recently went to Saudi Arabia and he made like $3 million and he didn't even offer anything to Bret. My honest opinion about it is this. Bret Hart loved wrestling more than life. His family, everything was about wrestling. When you have something that is the biggest part of your life taken away from you, it devastates you. It hurts you. It destroys you in many ways. I cannot hold any anger towards Bret Hart about his bitterness. Because if you have something that is your entire life and it is abruptly taken away from you and you feel it's somebody inexperienced and someone who has gone on to profit big time, and you know, you feel very, very devastated over it. So I can't criticize Bret. I will also say that if you watch that clip again, these are people bringing up topics that lead to that topic. So when people are like, oh, Bret again about Goldberg, yeah, because people fucking put him in that position to bring him up. So if you're tired of Bret Hart talking about Goldberg, then don't fucking watch him. You know, but if anyone out there is going to, you know, in my opinion, that's going to criticize Bret for, why don't you just let it go? Let me take away what you fucking love the most in your life. And you see 10, 20 years from now, when it still hurts and you're still devastated, you sit at home and beyond your control. And then you let someone say to you, yo, Joey, just let it go. Punch him right in the fucking mouth. Don't tell me to let it go. I fucking lost what I love the most. Don't tell me. It's very easy for people online to run off at the mouth and say, oh, Bret's a bitter bitch. Let me take away what you love the most. And you see when you never recover from it and the pain doesn't go away. And then let somebody tell you, yo, just let it go. You see how you feel about it. So, and you're very welcome, Casey. Said we had a stupendous stream tonight. I think we had a stupendous show. I know yesterday we had the most stupendous watch party. But, you know, the Triple H stuff, you know, like I said, I had no notes. Zero. Because when it hits home, you've already gone through everything. You understand it. You know, when my mom 4 years ago had what she had, my father didn't understand half of it. My father wanted to kill a doctor. Because my father thought the doctor fucked up. What do you mean my mother has to get a valve from a pig put in her heart? You know, and I'm the one, along with my brother, who had to spend all hours of the night trying to understand it, trying to convince my dad, no, Dad, this is what happened, and this is what caused it. Why did this happen? And, you know, you just, we're not perfect. We're humans. You know, we have a lot. We can't control sometimes some things that happen. So when it hits home and then you really take the time to try to understand it and maybe learn from it, in case it happens to you, when you see what happens to Triple H, it hits home, and it's not surprising, and it's not easy to talk about, but it is easy to talk about. It's easy to talk about explaining it, but it's not easy emotionally. So, do I think steroids contributed to his heart? No, I don't. I don't. Because if you look at the fluid and you look at the valves closing, no. If his heart muscle, which was a little bit enlarged, but that's not out of the ordinary, because when you work out, and it's not just from roids, but if your heart muscle is too big and it contracts the arteries and the veins surrounding it, that's different. His arteries closed, clogged, and he's not on any cholesterol medicine. He's not on any blood pressure medicine. No signs whatsoever. His Widowmaker was almost 100% clogged. My father's Widowmaker was 95% clogged. My father goes for stress tests every year. My father goes to gets EKGs every year. EMGs is the nervous system. EKGs. And he never detected anything. And last year, complete opposite. My father still to this day, the fuck you go from the year before, everything is good, and in the next year, it's 95% closed. It's not from steroids. If you learn about the arteries clogged, especially the Widowmaker, you'll understand steroids had nothing to do with it. So, all right, we are done. Am I a Yankees fan? I'm a Mets fan. I mean, I brought up as a Yankees fan. My father took me to my first Yankee game in 1976. The playoffs with the Royals. I don't remember it. All I remember from that day is walking across Yankee Stadium and smelling the charcoal and the pretzels. That's all I remember from that night. If anyone out there ever went to the old Yankee Stadium, you walk outside and it's at night and you smell that charcoal from cooking the pretzels. That's something that I will always remember to the day I die. But my most favorite player of all time is Reggie Jackson. When Reggie Jackson left to go to the Angels in 82, that's when I was no longer a fan of the Yankees. I became a fan of the Mets. I've been a fan of the Mets ever since. But I root for the Yankees. If the Yankees are the only team in the playoffs, I will root for the Yankees. The 98 Yankees are my favorite team as a lifelong Mets fan. You know, before that, 77, 78 Yankees were my favorite. So, okay. I think the Mets will contend this year. Scherzer, let me say this, and we'll go. Max Scherzer and Jacob DeGrom, remember this analogy. You will hear it thousands of times during the year, not just from New York fans. You will see people comparing Max Scherzer and Jacob DeGrom to Curt Schilling and Randy Johnson, Diamondbacks 2001. You mark my words, unless one of them two get a major injury, but I think you're going to see that comparison made over and over and over. And Schilling and Randy Johnson were the reason why the Diamondbacks won the 2001 World Series. No question. Yankees came close, but the Diamondbacks ended up winning. Now, if anybody remembers my hotline days, I went to two of those games. And Jesus Christ, to see, you know, those home runs against that, what was that name of that Japanese pitcher, Kim? Oh, my God. It's insane. I came home, did my hotline one of those nights. I was like, holy fucking shit. It was just surreal. But the Diamondbacks ended up winning. So, all right, everyone, I'm going to get out of here. We're at an hour and 50 minutes. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. I know the beginning was a little bit different, but I think that was the right conversation to have. You know, tributes to Triple H. He didn't die yet. When he goes into Hall of Fame, that's when we could reminisce some of his all-time great matches. And look, in his early career, I was not a fan of Triple H. I've voiced it out. The Triple H show, I mean, that's what we called his early 2000s push, 2002, 2003, 2004, the Triple H show. They would open with Triple H. We'd see highlights from the opening, and then you'd have him again at the beginning of the second hour. You'd have more highlights, and then you'd have the third hour, and then it would close out, or whatever it was. It was the Triple H show. And, you know, you at that time, it felt like Triple H, you know, buried a lot of people. That was WWE doing it. But, you know, as the years went on, he became more likable and more likable and more likable. And now he's one of my preferred entertainers in my, you know, latter years of being a wrestling fan. But there was no question, there were definitely times, good periods of time, that a lot of fans were just fed up with the amount of exposure that Triple H had on TV. But, you know, you look at his resume in the ring and outside the ring, not too many people can really compare to that. And it's an awesome career. We have plenty of time to celebrate it. So, all right, everybody, hope you enjoyed it. On the way out, if you could do me a solid, if you enjoyed this show, I don't want to use my birthday as a bribe, but I don't fucking care because everybody does it. You want to give me a birthday present, hit the goddamn like button on the way out. It helps with the algorithm shit, you know? Apparently more people watch it, more people like it. YouTube, it flags YouTube. It says, hey, you should recommend this to this people, or may recommend. So hit that like button before you leave. And don't forget, tomorrow night, if you have any additional questions that you want me to answer, that's what tomorrow night is all about. The sit down with yours truly, all it is live chat. On occasion, we'll do calls, but probably mostly live chat tomorrow. The entire show, I just sit here and I just answer questions. So anything that you want me to talk about tomorrow, start getting it ready. I will be here at 8 o'clock, 8:05 to be exact, and we'll spend about an hour to 90 minutes chatting, and we'll get into anything you want. Everyone, I'm going to get this online, get a good night's sleep, spend my birthday tomorrow with my family, you know, reminisce a little bit, and when my belly is full, I'll be up here at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. Maybe we'll have a little cappuccino, a little espresso. No cannolis. I'm back on keto. But I do have Rebel pistachio ice cream. Believe me when I tell you, everyone, pistachio ice cream has always been my favorite flavor ice cream. And someone online who wants to keep their name anonymous because they don't buy gifts for other podcasters sent me a case of Rebel pistachio ice cream. I actually ate it yesterday during the watch party. If anybody remembers the watch party, I said a green container. That was Rebel pistachio. You do a Google search, you cannot find Rebel pistachio ice cream anywhere. You can't even find it on their website. When this person said to me, hey, what do you want for your birthday? No, I don't want nothing. All right, well, what do you like to eat? And I'm like, well, most of the stuff I like, I can't have. Well, what do you like? And they started throwing okay. And then the person comes back to me and says, you eat Rebel ice cream, right? I said, yeah. He says, they have Rebel pistachio. I said, no, they don't. She says, yes, they do. And he sends me a picture. I'm like, I've never seen Rebel pistachio ice cream. He says, I get you a case. Sure enough, last week, fucking case shows up at my door. Rebel pistachio ice cream. I kid you. Look, before we go, look. People don't know. This is a food freezer. Hey, you want a little behind the scenes of my show? This is a food freezer underneath this. Check it out. Open the food freezer. Look. Oh, are you kidding? That's a food freezer. I keep dead bodies in there. Hey, how you doing? Hey, it's stand and deliver, Tommaso Ciampa. You're going to go in the food freezer. Maybe we'll have some pistachio ice cream tomorrow. So, all right, everybody, it's been real. I hope you had a fun time tonight. There's still quite a few of you. There's more people tuning in than there are likes. Get off your lazy asses. Hit that like button. I'll see you tomorrow night. Ciao.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.